Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 9, entitled Mother Yashoda Binds Lord Krishna, Text 12. Tyaktva yastim sutam bhitam vigyarbhaka vatsalam yesha kilam tam bhagdhum Damnatad Viryam Kovidam Yaktvayasim Sutam Bhitam Yaktvayasim Sutam Bhitam Vigyayad Bhakavatsalam Vigyayar bhakavatsalam Yesha kilatam bhandum Yesha kilatam bhadum Damnatad virya kovidam Damnatad virya kovidam Yaktvayasim sukam bhitam Vigyayar bhakavatsalam Yesha kilatam bhadum Damnatad virya kovidam Yaktvayasim sukam bhitam Vigyayar bhakavatsalam Yesha kilatam bhadum Damnatad virya kovidam Yaktvayastim sutam bhitam Vigyayar bhakavatsalam Yesha kilatam bhadum Damnatad virya kovidam Yaktvayastim sutam bhitam Mataji? Desparasi sutam bitam Vijayar bhakavatsala Vishakila tambadam Amata virya kovidam Tyaktva, throwing away. Yastin, the stick in her hand. Sutam, her son. Bhitam, considering her son's great fear. Vigyaya, understanding. Arbhakhavatsalam, the most affectionate mother of Krishna. Yesha, desired. Kila, indeed. Tam, Krishna. Badhum, to bind. Damnam, with a rope. Atat virya kovidam, without knowledge of the supremely powerful personality of Godhead, because of intense love for Krishna. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Is it Prabhupada still? I think it's. Translation. Mother Yashoda was always overwhelmed by intense love for Krishna, not knowing who Krishna was or how powerful he was. Because of maternal affection for Krishna, she never even cared to know who he was. Therefore, when she saw that her son had become excessively afraid, she threw the stick away and desired to bind him so that he would not commit any further naughty activities. Purport. Mother Yashoda wanted to bind Krishna, not in order to chastise him, but because she thought that a child was so restless that he might have leave the house in fear. That would be another disturbance. Therefore, because of full affection to stop Krishna from leaving the house, she wanted to bind him with rope. Mother Yashoda wanted to impress upon Krishna that since he was afraid merely to see her stick, he should not perform such disturbing activities as breaking the container of yogurt and butter and distributed contents to the monkeys. Mother Yashoda did not care to understand who Krishna was and how his power spreads everywhere. This is an example of pure love for Krishna. Tektrayastim sutambitam vigyayarba kavatsalam yeshakilatam padum dhammantadvirya kovidam. Mother Yashoda was always overwhelmed by intense love for Krishna, not knowing who Krishna was or how powerful he was. Because of maternal affection for Krishna, she never even cared to know who he was. Therefore, when she saw that her son had become excessively afraid, she threw the stick away and desired to bind him so that he would not commit any further naughty activities. ಓಮಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಂದಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಂಜನಾ ಶಲಾಖಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮಿಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ. ನಮೋ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೈ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವಿರಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿ ಚಿನಾಮಿನ. ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶಿವಸದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. Yesterday Rupvilas Prabhu narrated one very interesting incident involving one devotee from Africa and one devotee from India. Does anyone remember what that incident was all about? Can anyone recollect? Wait. Okay. Sharat. So there was a fight, was a drama going on. Fight between Chandra, Mushtika and Krishna. So then what happened? Okay. So Chandra and Mushtika appeared to be very powerful. And they almost practically subdued Krishna. Subdued Krishna. So that was something that was not supposed to happen. So it was kind of a rasa basa presentation. Not definitely something that Swarup Damodar would recommend for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to read or see as a, some kind of dramatic performance. So sometimes that does happen, that devotees not just identify very strongly with certain role, because in this case this wasn't what happened, but because they just become overpowered by the modes of material nature. Instead of enacting what actually they're supposed to, many times they become covered by the subtleties of lusty propensity, labha, puja and pratishta. And then instead of like Krishna being bound by the love, by the ropes of love, they become more bound by the three modes, three ropes of material nature. And then they manifest such kind of desire to conquer, to present themselves as something that they're not supposed to. So many times this propensity is very strong in the initial stages of bhakti, devotional service. And sometimes we do see when devotees go to Talasari, sometimes they're wrestling matches and things, apparently competitive interactions happening. And sometimes devotees do become overly passionate, covered or binded by the, exhibiting those binds by the strong bounds by the modes of passion. So this is something that it's not really favorable for the devotional service. And a more important thing is definitely something that disturbs the relationship. It disturbs the rasa. It disturbs the pastimes. We heard yesterday, it was a very interesting incident, so this is why I'm repeating it again, because devotees didn't feel pleased by that kind of interactions happening amongst the devotees. And we know when drama is happening, we definitely expect everyone to identify with those particular roles that they're playing. Anything beyond that or contrary to that is very disturbing. Nobody wishes to be exposed to something that they don't expect to witness, that they don't expect to have that kind of flavor generated by such kind of inappropriate activities. And here we see that Mother Yashoda knew only Krishna as her son. This is that very strong bounding affection towards Krishna in a particular mood, in a particular rasa, that is derived from that kind of relationship. And no devotee definitely desires to have anything different with the Lord than what he had already had or what he has established in that certain type of relationship. Like we know, that particular relationship when Narsimhadev broke out of the pillar and he was so ferocious. You know, Lakshmi wasn't very pleased afterwards when she was, amongst the others, asked to go and pacify the Lord. She wasn't so certain about it. She said, I don't know what kind of form this is. I've never, you know, I she wasn't ready. Of course, Prahlad didn't have any type of fear. But that kind of incident points out that she was disturbed by that kind of manifestation. She was not used to that kind of rasa. At least, apparently, it looked so at that moment. And of course, any kind of change in a relationship, we can understand in our own personal, through our own personal experience, many times we have certain relationships, and then somebody exhibiting different type of relationship, it becomes very shocking. You know, sometimes you have a friend, or I don't know, whatever, husband and wife or something, and you expect certain type of relationship, but sometimes something happens and then somebody just keeps on, you know, appearing as something completely different than what would you expect. Just imagine you come to your friend or something and then he suddenly starts, you know, behaving like some kind of a wild, mad personality. You know, you never expected this. You thought there's going to be some nice interaction, discussion or whatever activity is happening. But suddenly he just appears like somebody you never knew as earlier. And it is very disturbing. It's very contradictory then. So we all have certain expectations for a particular type of relationship. And when that is disturbed, then it becomes very unpalatable. We have heard examples of Arjuna also, seeing Krishna's universal form. He didn't like that. He didn't appreciate that very much. It is wonderful. It is amazing. But this is not what generates that wonderful taste that devotees have in a particular relationship towards the Lord. So Mother Yashoda, she just doesn't want to know. She's not interested. She doesn't care about Krishna having any particular, you know, position or qualities. Nobody is interested in the Braja to understand how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They don't want Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because then that mood, that relationship would be disturbed. And they're just very happy and pleased having a devotional mood, the topmost devotional mood towards Krishna, just considering him, you know, like here in the case of Mother Yashoda, he's just my son, he's nobody else. Yeah. And many times we see that Krishna actually, by his potency, by the Yoga Maya potency, he makes the arrangement that relationship is not disturbed. Because otherwise, how would the pastimes in Vrindavan go on? So Yoga Maya is very, very active. Every moment she has to cover some of the inhabitants of the Vrindavan by her potency, so that that relationship is, that flavor is tasted amongst the devotees and amongst, and with Krishna, and Krishna himself. Like when there was a forest fire. There were two forest fires. And in one instance, Krishna, when the boys became disturbed and understanding the Krishna's potency to some extent, then Krishna made them asleep and he swallowed the forest fire. So he made them asleep. You don't want them to witness this. Or any time that he kills the demons, any kind of demon, everybody considers that it has someone else who had been involved in such kind of activity, not the Krishna. And Krishna has been saved. All the gopis consider, including Mother Yashoda, Krishna has been saved by the Supreme Lord, by Lord Narayan. This is what their consideration is. So there is no question of thinking that it is Krishna who had done it. We heard Govardhan Lila. Krishna lifted Govardhan, but all the coward boys thought, no, we are lifting the Govardhan. We are holding the sticks. It is not Krishna that is doing so. Yeah. But some somehow, at some point, since Krishna did perform all these wonderful activities, residents of Vrindavan started considering maybe we should start treating Krishna in a little better way, a little more reverential way. He doesn't appear to be some ordinary boy. He must be at least some kind of a demigod. And they called all the residents of Vrindavan, all the elderly gopas, Upananda, Nanda Baba, everybody was there. And they had a discussion considering that what to do, how do we relate towards the Krishna, because he performed such an amazing activity. And then after hearing of all of the different types of activities that Krishna performed, suddenly Nanda Maharaj, he said, but actually Krishna cannot be any kind of divinity. He's just an ordinary boy. He's just an ordinary child. How could he be divine? Just consider, when there is a rain, when there is thundering, he immediately becomes fearful and he runs for shelter. He runs towards me for protection. How can anyone divine act in such a way? How can anyone divine go around pinching children, small children, and creating so much disturbance? How can anyone divine steal the butter as this lila is going on? And if displeased, not finding and getting what he wants, urinating on the floor. How can anyone divine perform such kind of activities? He is just an ordinary child. And then everybody started laughing and dismissed that idea that Krishna is the divine personality. So this is how Mother Yashoda, because of that love is stronger than any kind of conception of awe and reverence. So strong. Srila Prabhupada even gives the example of any mother practically, no matter what kind of position their son might be on, no matter what kind of age their son may be on, but they still have the same mood in their relationship towards their children. Exactly the same mood. Because their love is not contaminated by any kind of position or any kind of other activities that might be performed by their son. So here Mother Yashoda is also just completely absorbed in that loving devotion towards the Lord as her child, not as anybody else. So in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami defines that devotion, defines that great love towards Krishna as Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadya Navritam Anukulyena Shilanam Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktir Uttama. So this is the definition of the pure devotional service. Anukulyena Krishnanu. So what does that mean, anukulyena? That word is defined by the acharyas as something favorable, something that is done in a favorable way towards, something that has to be favorable. But again, what has to be favorable and towards whom? This is the question now. So just favorable definition, it's not sufficient. So what is it favorable? So it has to be favorable for the pleasure of Krishna. Like in the beginning we mentioned this incident of Krishna fighting with Chanurai and Mustika. And of course, what we heard was some kind of perverted reflection of what was supposed to happen. But when Krishna did fought them, as we hear from the narrations of Krishna book or Srimad Bhagavatam, he derived great pleasure. Derived great pleasure. So it appeared to be favorable for Krishna. And when Krishna fights, we know when he fights the different demons, when he fights Hiranyakashipu, Krishna derives great pleasure. Actually, that was the whole purpose of Krishna appearing here in this material world, to experience that chivalry rasa So it is pleasurable for Krishna. It is very pleasurable for Krishna. Or when he fights with Varaha, Varaha fights with the Hiranyaksha. You know, that's at some point also, Hiranyaksha, he knocks the club from Krishna, Varaha's hand. He knocks the club from Varaha's hand. And then all the demigods are put in anxiety. Oh no, what will happen now? How is it possible? So maybe like this little, everybody thought, you know, now Krishna is going to get defeated. How is that possible? They're all full of anxiety. But it is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is just like a play. Like a play between cat and the mouse. In this case, Varaha was compared, or Hiranyakashipu, they're compared to, not Hiranyakashipu, Nrsimha there. They're compared to cat. And the demons are compared to the mouse. Sometimes the cat relieves the mouse. He apparently gives him the opportunity to run away. But just to jump and pounce upon him again. So like this, sometimes this kind of happens, just to give a little flavor, just to make it more dramatic. So this is there. So such kind of fights, they definitely appear favorable. They're pleasing to Krishna. But can we turn them as the bhakti? We turn them as devotional? We cannot, actually, because they involve personalities which don't have a devotion, which are actually very much opposed towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah. So therefore, this is not complete definition. It is not just something that is favorable. It is not just something that is pleasing to Krishna. Therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his definition of this verse, he points out also, giving this example of Damodar Lila. He said that Mother Yashoda, she is known as the topmost devotee. Completely, every second, there is no second practically that she doesn't think of Krishna. And that she doesn't try to do something that is for the pleasure of Krishna. And this is when she was for the pleasure of Krishna again churning the butter, and then Krishna was pulling her sari, trying to draw her attention. And then she left the churning and she took Krishna and she fed the Krishna. And Krishna appeared very pleased. So it seemed like very favorable. It seemed like very pleasure giving to Krishna. And Krishna was drinking milk. But then she heard that milk boiling in the kitchen. And she kept Krishna down and ran toward the kitchen to try to save the milk. And then Krishna became very displeased and appeared that he is very, very angry. And he was actually very disturbed. So now, considering position of Mother Yashoda, yeah, she didn't please Krishna. By this activity, she didn't please Krishna. So can we say that Mother Yashoda is not a devotee because of that? No, we cannot say. She is a devotee, but she displeased Krishna. So then what would be the definition then of Anukulya? What would be the definition? If she displeased Krishna, so it was not, it didn't seem to be favorable. It was not for the pleasure of Krishna, that kind of activity that she performed. But essentially we know, as we said, she does everything for the pleasure of Krishna. Although sometimes it may appear that it wasn't pleasing to him. So then the second definition, or the other proposal for what Anukulyena would mean, is that it is something that is favorable, that is for the pleasure of Krishna, but it also has to be done with the right intention. Then that would include Mother Yashoda. And then that would exclude somebody who has a demoniac mentality. So it's not just, you know, like this fight going on between demons and Krishna, giving Krishna pleasure, and that are seeming favorable towards Krishna, but would also include that desire or intentionally to please Krishna. Although sometimes it might happen that it's not pleasing to Krishna. Like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enacted his pastimes, it seemed that sometimes he was not pleased with the devotees, but actually that was just his external manifestation. Internally he was very pleased with the devotees. Like when Gadadhar Pandit wanted to follow him to go to Vrindavan, and he gave the vow of Kshetra Sannyas, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu externally appeared very displeased with such kind of activity. But actually internally he was very pleased, because he knew the extent of the devotion of Gadadhar Pandit towards him. So therefore, anukulyena as a definition would be something that is giving pleasure to Krishna, but it is performed with the right intention. This is what is then anukulya. And to Krishna. Definitely, anukulya Krishna, towards Krishna. So Krishna doesn't also mean that it's only Krishna. You know, that doesn't mean that it's only that kind of bhakti that it's meant for Krishna. It is bhakti that it's meant for all the other expansions of Krishna, all the other avatars. So we include all types of bhakti by all the other Vaishnavas. So it's not that it excludes all other types of devotional service. It includes them all. And then, uttama. What does it mean, uttama bhakti? Uttama means the topmost bhakti. Of course, it's not just prema, the topmost bhakti, but even beyond, because it's ever expanding. So it is the topmost, it is pure, it is transcendental, it is the highest. This kind of bhakti would be there. But even on the level of sadhana bhakti, there are some slight, sometimes tinges of that prema. So basically any endeavor towards the path of bhakti would be also to some extent considered pure. Although on the level of sadhana, it is not pure. It's not fully pure, but some tinges are there. It's like from the from shraddha to prema. It is not just kind of a, you know, like a linear graph. Sometimes it's like it's oscillating. So sometimes there are some tinges of course, other levels of bhakti that may appear by Krishna's mercy, not by our own endeavor. And therefore that definition of pure devotional service, it includes to some extent sadhana bhakti. It includes all types of bhakti. But of course the highest bhakti, this is what is the best manifestation of the devotion towards the Lord. So sometimes somebody may perform devotional activities. As we know, we do perform many kinds of devotional activities. But are they done with the appropriate intention? And many times they do exclude bhakti. So just because we perform some activities, we call it devotional service. It doesn't mean that it is necessary so. It may be just done pretty mechanically. Where is our consciousness? How many times we perform some service? But our consciousness might be completely on the other part of the universe. Or mind may be roaming in so many places, thinking about so many different types of things. But we are not conscious of what we are doing. So therefore this is not exactly... this is not actually the devotional service. It's not done with the proper intention. Many times people who have no devotion, who don't even appreciate, don't even want to know or have any relationship with the Lord, somehow by accident perform some devotional service. Right? Sometimes by accident may happen. This is called agyata sukriti. They do. They're sometimes devoted and they are somewhere performing their devotional service and they come across someone who maybe hands them something or shows them the way or directs them something somewhere or does anything just out of any so-called general courtesy or just some kind of cultural gentlemanly behavior or whatever it might be there. And this is called agyata sukriti because in relationship to the devotees, they do perform some devotional service unknowingly. So when that kind of Agyata Sukriti mounts, it creates a very favorable soil, creates a very favorable field, where then the seed of bhakti, when then the seed of devotional service can be planted. But that seed can be only planted by Guru and Krishna. And those who have the bhakti, because bhakti definitely comes only from bhakti, not by any karma, jnana, punya. So then it creates the favorable circumstance when that bhakti can be planted. But it's not Uttama Bhakti. Like we know Ajamila, he was calling out to Krishna, but he didn't have a proper intention. So it wasn't exactly the example of the Uttama Bhakti. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur further describes what the Anya Bilashita also means. Anya Bilashita Ta, that suffix Ta, basically means without, generally, without any other desire except for pleasing the Krishna. So it might be any other desire. It's not just jnana, karmadhyaya, navritam. It's not just without jnana, without karma, any kind of activity that is not in relationship to Krishna. Of course, jnana and karma in relationship to Krishna, they are favorable. We said there has to be favorable anukulyena. So, but those which are not favorable, they are excluded. But the general definition of any other desire that is not in relationship to Krishna, that is also excluded. So then somebody may point out, what about Draupadi? She had a desire to be saved by Krishna. She had a desire, but that desire was in relationship to Krishna, only to Krishna. When it is relationship only to Krishna, then actually it is a part of the devotional service. That is, then it's included in the bhakti. And it's one of the principles of the surrender. Just taking full shelter and protection only of Lord Krishna. So therefore it is part of bhakti. And then anushilanam. What does it mean, anushilanam? How is it defined? So it's basically something that is some type of action, some type of activity. But it's not sufficient. Many acharyas point out that it's activity that is ongoing. That is activity which is done over and over again, which is repetitive activity. So that means it's continuous. It's continuous. So it would basically, the definition of anushilanam would be continuous cultivation. So something that is continuously being cultivated. Like some cultivation might be there, but it doesn't mean that it's necessary an activity. So then how do we understand it? So then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that there are two types. That one is internal and then one is external. So internal type of cultivation that is there, it doesn't appear on the level of the sadhana bhakti. It appears on the higher level of bhakti. Like activity, we are all performing different types of activities, right? We are sweeping the floor, we are doing the deity worship, going out for sankirtan, performing devotional activities. So it's ongoing activity. So that means something that is continuously happening. You know, ongoing activities. Even the devotees in Vrindavan, Mother Yashoda again, or Radharani, they cook for Krishna. You know, they do so many different types of activities, but there is also something more than that. So it's not just an activity itself, but it's also that cultivation, which is internal. Cultivation of the relationship with Krishna. So it's not an only external affair, but it's also internal. So they're cultivating that relationship with Krishna from within as well, not just on the external basis. So this is the definition of the Rupa Goswami, of the pure devotional service, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, as we said, gives us a little more understanding and gives us more light about this verse. And this is what is described here in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, that this is that love that Mother Yashoda experiences in relationship towards Krishna. This is that love which here in this material world, Srila Prabhupada explains, we can feel only a tinge of it. We can have, there is some semblance of it in the mundane type of relationship between mother and her child. But it's not pure. It is just some kind of semblance or the idea that we can have from it. It's not pure. Because there is some still selfish motivation behind that kind of service. So Mother Yashoda is exhibiting her pure love towards Krishna without any selfish motivation. Just purely for the love, for pleasing the Krishna. Yeah. And even that milk that was boiling, this is what she thought, this will be for Krishna as well. This will be something that will please Krishna, because she would have made some sweets out of it or whatever. That would again serve for the pleasure of Krishna. So the most important thing to realize by such kind of activities that the pure devotees perform is that to please Krishna, we also have to follow in the footsteps of those great devotees to understand how to please Krishna. It has to be properly motivated. As we said, it has to be favorable, it has to be pleasing, but it also has to be a proper motivation behind it. That means right action with a proper mood. If that is not there, then it is not really pure devotional service. Might be some type of bhakti, but it's not pure devotional service. And then how do we know what is pleasing to Krishna and what is done in a proper mood? Definitely, since we are conditioned, it is just completely beyond our scope of understanding. The only way to know how to please Krishna is therefore to follow Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. And again, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur points out, Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasado, Yasya Prasadat Nagato Kutopi. And then in Mundaka Upanishad, Tat Vigyanartam Eva Bigachat. The whole idea is to approach the Guru, to accept the Guru in the bona fide disciplic succession, who will guide us, who will teach us, who will engage us in the appropriate manner, which is pleasing to Krishna. Not that we try speculating in our own false, contaminated ego, trying to create so many misconceptions, and by those thinking that this is maybe something that is pleasing to Krishna. No, we follow in the footsteps of the Guru and the Acharyas because they know what is pleasing to Krishna. Yeah. And this is the way of progressing in the spiritual life and coming to the same level of this pure devotional service as exhibited here by Mother Yashoda. Yeah. Because Krishna is not interested by the certain type of activity. Krishna is not interested in acquiring or gaining anything from anybody. Yeah. Krishna is interested in love. We know Krishna doesn't eat the food items. He eats the love with which those are prepared. Yeah. Krishna didn't care so much for the milk, although it was a very special milk, very unique milk. Nobody else has so much the chance, of course, I'm talking about us, to even kind of imagine what to speak of tasting some kind of a fragrant flavor of that kind of milk that Krishna is presented with. So it's something very, very unique. But that's not exactly what Krishna is interested in. Of course, he gets the pleasure from a devotee milk, so to say. But even more pleasure he's getting, like when Mother Yashoda breastfeeds him with that kind of milk, with that kind of love, with that kind of devotion, infused, imbued with that kind of love. That's even more tastier to Krishna. As we know, that love is there when we share anything with anyone. It might be. And if it's not, it can be felt. It can be very easily felt. So this is what Krishna is interested. Not just about some kind of milk. Even those 900,000 cows, and even that special milk, even in terms of quantity, cannot compare to Kshira Ocean where Krishna resides. Kshira Dakshay Vishnu. How much milk is there? So Krishna is not interested in milk. And that special flavor. What do we understand about flavor? Maybe some strawberry shake flavor, blueberry shake flavor, mango milk shake flavor, some of those. But nothing can compare to the flavor of this, you know, Padmaganda, the cow that provides the milk for Krishna. And so once, a few times, of course, in Advara, but once we went to the Goshala. I don't know, any of you ever went to Goshala in Advara? There is also a special cow. Did you see that? There's a special cow. And they don't really, you know, there is very few people, they, if you specifically ask for it, then they will allow you to see that cow. There is a special cow, Surabhi cow, which provides milk for Srinadji. They use just that milk for Srinadji in Advara. They offer that. It's a very amazing cow. It's very beautiful. Very strong and tall. And very, very beautiful. And very peaceful cow. And when people come, they made them, you know, crawl beneath her belly. You know, between the legs, then they kind of pass, and this is considered very auspicious. You can desire anything, and they say, some of those desires will become fulfilled. So there is also the cow that gives milk only for Srinadji, only for Krishna. Very, very unique cow. It was very beautiful. Very nice cow. Some kind of breed between, like Gujarat and Vrindavan, this Gir and Vrindavan cows. I don't know, and it was in Rajasthan, so some kind of special breed, I forgot what it was. A very beautiful cow. So essentially, Krishna is interested also. He wants that love only. He wants that devotion. And that devotion of the motherly love exhibited here, like in this verse, this is what Krishna is tasting, this kind of rasa Krishna is tasting. And he also wouldn't want to change that relationship that he has with Mother Yashoda. If Mother Yashoda wouldn't want to change that relationship with Krishna, neither Krishna would want to change that relationship with Mother that he has with Mother Yashoda. So this is why these pastimes are ongoing. Because he also wants to taste that loving devotion of his devotees in such kind of mood, in such kind of rasa. And we also, sometimes we can have that experience of motherly love in this material world. We all feel gratitude towards our mother, how much sacrifice. Many times I do reflect how much my mother performs different types of sacrifice, you know, for sake of us. Means for sake of me, my brother, or whatever, in my personal case. How much sacrifice did she perform? And then it's natural to feel gratitude. It's natural to feel gratitude for whatever they have done. And actually it is said that nobody can be a brahmachari unless he had a very loving mother, very caring mother. Because that emotional need won't be fulfilled. That would be always lacking throughout life if that has not been experienced in the early age. That experience of having a strong mind, becoming emotionally fulfilled. If that is not the case, then it becomes very, very difficult later on for somebody to become so fixed. Because many times what it happens, like nowadays in modern society, we see when there is no motherly love, then the children tend to become very, very disorientated, very lost, very mentally unstable. So this is what is going on, because that love is not there. But when that there love is present, then the person becomes very strong, very mature. He can become very independent as such. And of course, there is the balance that includes some discipline, sense for the authority which the father therefore gives. So that is there. So that love is very essential, and we definitely have to feel very grateful for it, so that we can also try to serve Krishna, and so that we can also try to please Krishna, in whichever little way we can. But of course, pleasing Krishna, as we stated and which is mentioned, that has to be favorable, and that has to be done with the proper mood, with the proper action, with the proper intention. Hare Krishna. So we will stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Yes.
This service with a
one second.
Right. So, Abhroji, you said Anukulena, explain. Like one aspect of Anukulena is like service rendered with the right intention. Is the definition of pure devotion with right intention and proper mood. So like I have two cases in this. One is that we do service if somebody has given a service to us and he said that you have limited time and you have to perform this service in a limited time, then we have to do little hurry to do that service towards the Lord. So due to that, we forget the intention, right intention or right mood for doing service. So, what to do in that case if you have limited time?
Well, many times devotees have that experience when they're addressing the deities. Once you will have that experience as well, maybe this is part of the training. You have a limited time and you have to address the deities. They have to be ready. You know, especially when there is a festival time, like you have a flower dressing or chandan dressing or... But every morning, devotees, it happens, they have limited time. But the deities have to appear very gorgeous, very, very beautiful, very attractive. And still devotees do it. And the deities look amazing. So again, it is not matter of time, it is... still the matter of the attitude, of the consciousness, of the intention. So, if the focus is there, then time is not that important. And again, what attitude means, you do your best. You just try to do your best in whatever limited time you have. That's all. That is what counts. It's not like the ultimate result of the activity. You know, it's not always that it's accounted. Of course it matters, but again, most predominantly is the intention. Like here, Mother Yashoda, she had proper intention, but the result wasn't pleasing to Krishna. But Krishna took the intention more, actually, rather than the activity. This is something that is more important in that sense. It weighs more. If both are there, great, it's better. So, at least having that proper attitude, trying to please Krishna as much as possible, and to whichever extent it is possible, and that whatever limited time is available. Okay?
Due to this limited time, this is given a limited time, the quality reduces, the service, what we do.
Quality will improve with the practice. Quality will improve with the practice, with again more time. You will become expert. Within less period of time, you'll be able to serve in much greater, in much better way. So it's again matter of practice and time. Okay. Yes.
Prabhuji, basically when we'll come to temple, then we attach to deities and we come to certain mood of serving or praying in that mood. But when we go to our work in material life, then we forgot and then we do our regular duties and after some time again we come back. So this is what happening again and again. So we are not in a consistent mood. And sometimes our priority gets changed. We have to keep Krishna as our first priority, but it doesn't remain as it is. So what to do for this?
Again, the practice should be continuous. Shilanam. As much continuous as possible. We have to create circumstances where that will become possible. And keep reminding ourselves as much as we can about Krishna and about devotional service and improving our quality of devotional practice. Then this is the only way. We have to keep on striving until we do come to that level where it becomes steady. Steadiness is on the level of nishtha. Yeah, that is steady faith, steady continuous devotional service, that is uninterrupted level of madhyam adhikari. On the kanishtha level, we do become distracted, disturbed, we forget about the essence, we forget about so many favorable ways of devotional cultivation. But in the course of time, if we do keep continue practicing, or at least, as I said, creating some kind of circumstance where that is possible, then we will come to the level of madhyam adhikari. We will come to the level of nishtha. So just keep on continuing. Is that okay? Okay, shout at last quickly.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for the class. So you mentioned in the beginning, you were pointing out that story of Chanur Mustik and Krishna. So I was thinking, and then you said that how the relationship between devotees sometimes when they react or when they start behaving not as per our expectation, and we feel unpalatable to continue or maintain that relationship. So in case of Jiva Goswami defeating Vallabhacharya and many few instances more also. So how, the service which, we do is often or, done with right intention, but then if the authority or if the devotee fails to understand the right intention, and tries to just see the externally, the seva, what has been rendered based on the results or whatever has happened. So how to understand in that way that, to become satisfied ourselves, ki how this is a learning for me, that how, keeping our intentions also safeguarded, proper, at the same time to understand that how in such situations like this, Jiva Goswami and all, that how we should act in a right etiquette also, at the same time with the right intention. Thinking, keeping in mind the relationship, palatable, unpalatable and things like that. So if you can, share, your realizations, how to maintain that, to nurture that relationship.
We all know that what kind of level of devotional practice we are, and that sometimes we can be carried away by the modes of material nature. That is pretty obvious. So as it tends to happen to us, we naturally conclude it tends to happen to others who are on the similar platform of the devotional practice. So yes, sometimes things may become strained and lean towards one extreme or to the other. But then we understand we are here to rectify ourselves. We are here to purify ourselves. We are here to advance in spiritual life. So such kind of disturbances that resurface due to this conditioning that we all have shouldn't become obstacle or discouragement towards our continuation of devotional service. But it's something to be expected. So if it's something that is happening and it is going to continue happening on this level, then why again becoming overly disturbed by it? It is also part. It is something that we still have to appreciate. Anybody who desires to take shelter of the devotional service. And anybody who performs even little devotional service, they might not be pure yet, but Srila Prabhupada gives example. It's just like taking a shower. You know, once you're waiting for somebody to come out, and then somebody pointing at you being dirty, it makes no sense. Because you're just next in the line to take the shower. So this is why, you know, pointing at somebody not behaving appropriately or acting inappropriately, in some ways, it is also unfavorable for our devotional service. Because they are in the line to become pure. It is just a question again of time and little more of devotional practice. When they will come to the level where there won't be such kind of disturbances. And you won't feel in relationship to them anymore those kind of misunderstandings or unpalatable dealings that are happening. So we have to understand, again, we see things from our point of view. You know, if we have gone through such kind of stages, then we understand that it took us also, and it's taking us also, you know, so many others to tolerate, you know, our misgivings, right? So then we should also tolerate others as well. And therefore being guided by the devotees, by Guru and Krishna, you know, keep on applying this process of devotional service and then advance. Slowly but steady. Yeah. Okay, we will stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.